Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:05 in St. Louis, you are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS. Tim McKernan, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, today on the road at Blondie's on Washington Avenue, where the Cinco de Mayo celebration will be going on throughout the day. 590 The Fan broadcasting all day long right here. Doug, come on by. The water, it is warm.
Well, I'm already here. I'm already by. It's cold now, but I guess it's going to get into the mid-60s by this afternoon, so that's good. We'll only get a break in this mess. I got a winter coat on.
Yeah,
I've got a winter coat on.
I have a fleece on. My fleece is on the stage.
Huh. I don't remember a Cardinal homestand ever where they had worse extended weather than they just had. I know there have been some near tornadoes that have hit the stadium, kind of a one-shot deal.
Was that April 2011, I think?
I don't know years.
And I think they were playing the Reds on a Friday night. I think I'm right on that.
But just for an extended, let's just screw up the entire homestand with rain, I think this is one of the worst I can remember.
What about when one of the Negro boys threw in game one of the NLCS?
Okay, it rained one night. What, 1960? What year? 82?
Thank you. Nice show prep.
We finally got a year.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, it rained one night in 82.
And had it not rained that night, the Cardinals don't win the World Series. So think about that next time you want to say something.
Okay. Boy, we sure had some fine weather on this last homestand, I mean
it was only a 10-game one.
Compared to that 82 storm.
See?
Be a son of a sack ass.
Jay Jr. is going to join us, but he can't find any parking. Because Washington Avenue is blocked off for the Cinco de Mayo celebration. Hmm. This is my old turf, Dirty. This is my old turf.
Where did you live from where we are
now? Anna Marie and I lived on the top floor, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I almost feel like I don't need to say that.
The penthouse?
Of Grace Lofts. Like 09 through 2011. And loved it.
Did you?
By the way. Absolutely loved it. So this is a return to Washington Avenue of sorts. And then we lived over there at Park Pacific, which is where KMOX, Y98, and 102.5 are now housed. Did you know that?
I did know that.
No.
I've never been in that building.
Well, I think KMOX is interested in having us on.
Well, we're at war with that outfit.
Right.
I don't know that we could even step foot in that building, no. Now, when you lived here, did you take in the bar scene on a nightly basis?
Yes, quite a bit. Hi, Jennings. Flannery's, sidebar.
Yeah.
No.
And you just simply pony up.
We did a lot of boozing. We really did. And then this Rosalita's, oh my, Cadillac fajitas at Rosalita's. Come on by. I'm telling you, if you haven't had them, holy moly. Check out Rosalita's Cantina this Cinco de Mayo for their Washington Avenue Street Party and for the best Tex-Mex in St. Louis. Rosalita's offers excellent tacos, fajitas, and margaritas, all with a live mariachi band during lunch and dinner hours on Cinco de Mayo. Enjoy other entertainment, such as a mechanical bull from 3 to 9 p.m., circus acts from 6:30 to 7 p.m., face painters, balloon twisters will be on site from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., all at your favorite Cinco de Mayo spot, Rosalita's Cantina at 1235 Washington Avenue. Rosalita's, home of the tableside guacamole. And I know you like that, because if you get guacamole and somebody just drops it off, you're like, what?
Guac?
Yeah, you want it made right next to your table.
Yeah, it just tastes better. It's fresher. It's fresher that way. Didn't you have a party there at Rosalita's?
I did.
Back? Was that the...
It was a surprise party, actually.
Yeah. I was trying to think what the occasion was.
It was, since we were getting married in Sanibel, some people at work actually put that on for me. Which was super kind. Me and Anna Marie, right there at Rosalita's.
Oh, that was quite a hootenanny.
We thought we were just having dinner with her parents, and all of a sudden we walk in, and it's like 30 people there for a little pony.
That's quite a little place for a get-together.
It was. There's a little private area up there. Yeah. And I'm telling you, the Cadillac fajitas, they'll rock your hole is what they'll do. guys, I'd love to buy Tim's old penthouse, and I'd love to hide in Doug's outhouse. That's from the hipster of Tower Grove South.
All right, let's get going with the Hotshot Suspension Logule, the hipster of Tower Grove South, for that comment, has indeed been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Wright Business Products is providing our ink pens today.
Guys, do I have to buy my wife a Mother's Day gift because I'm pretty sure all of my kids are from other gentlemen? Thanks. It's from Sean Mahoney's Deadeye.
I believe you're released from responsibility if that's the case.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. If she's been goofing around on you that much, I don't think you owe her anything.
And you're raising the other gentleman's children?
Yes.
Is that the ultimate cuck situation? Plow Predator, is that the ultimate cuck situation? Ladies and gentlemen, the Plow Predator in St. Charles on the ones and on the twos. In this Design Air 7 o'clock hour, Design Air, number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train.
Are you talking about like taking care of the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the worst cuck situation possible.
I would call it the least good, because I think all the cuck situations are wonderful. I would say this is the least good.
Mm-hmm. Why is that, Plowsy?
Hey, Jennings. How you doing, bud?
I'm feeling good like a fat guy should.
What?
But no, I love kids, but if it's not yours, you know, the love necessarily isn't there. And if you're in a cuck situation, that means you're not really getting the ultimate pleasure. So not only are you watching her get, you know...
Yeah. Railed.
Railed. Thank you. That was what I was going to say. You're also taking care of the kid that's not yours. So that's the worst. Right. But I don't mind the cuck situation, of course. I'm the cuck correspondent.
Yes.
Yeah, he's on the beat. He's on the beat.
Well, I think it's very possible to love your stepchildren.
Clip that off also and use it forever.
Well, it is.
But
just
you don't know that because you don't have any stepchildren.
John Vaughn is not your stepchild.
No, he's not.
No.
He does wonderful work on the fan page,
but
though.
But if you had stepchildren, you would still love them.
But would you love them as much as your own child?
Good question.
I don't know. I suppose you could.
I guess if you're not in the situation, you just don't know.
If your own children were very poorly behaved, you might love them more than
you
your
might
biological
like your stepkids
children.
Kids more.
Yes, that's very possible.
They might be good earners.
Right.
Let's see. A man-child 79, who is, just for the record, an African-American gentleman, says the ultimate kick cuck sitch is when two whites are raising a beige child.
Beige?
I've never heard the term. I have to be honest with you.
Beige.
Am I too isolated
beige.
In South City and Kirkwood to,
beige.
To be familiar with said term?
I'm not familiar with beige children.
I don't know what race
He says holla, by the way, Doug.
He says holla?
Yep.
All Give right. him a shout out.
Okay, hello, man child.
Nice.
That's it?
That's big for him today.
Oh, well, now, why would that be big?
Because he could tell his friends, and maybe he's got some friends listening, and maybe his lady's listening,
and
she's like, damn, he knows Doug.
Yep.
It's a big moment for him.
Let me tell you something. It gets me a lot of things in a lot of different places. I say, well, I know Doug Vaughn, and they say, well, just take something.
Really? That's how it
take
goes.
A sandwich. Have a sandwich.
Wow.
Yeah, Doug, you don't realize
that.
Your currency.
Yeah, I did not know
I don't tell people because I don't want other people using it.
Oh, I can see that.
Tim, can you have an extended 7 o'clock hour today? It was like Mark Mulder was running around in your body. Career day. That's from the Goat Boy. Yeah, I guess we went to like 8:10 yesterday.
What'd you have going on? Something big?
No, it was just a total, absolute bull-ass session.
Mm-hmm.
But I love those. Those are my favorites. You might have noticed I kind of tune out during interviews. I kind of get back to emails and texts. Doug and the cat kind of do the program at that point. Oh, we're done with the interview? I'm back in. That's kind of how it is.
Okay.
Now, if it's one of the beat interviews.
Right.
If we're talking with somebody I'm kind of interested in, I'm all in on the interview.
Sure.
But that's why I like the bull-ass sessions. And I guess we had a good hour and 10-minute one yesterday. And so today is a guestless show. And we're on remote.
Who's on the program.
When we're on remote.
Take a day off today, Seamaster?
No. Seamaster never takes a day off.
Right,
He's a 7-day-a-week guy. Kelly Chase may be coming by, brought to you by Petromart, because the Blues are skating at Scott Trade Center this morning. And he may come by here at Blondie's on Washington Avenue. Cinco de Mayo festivities all day long. Our listeners are welcome to stop on by and enjoy the fun and games. Finally, a beautiful day in St. Louis, and it will be in the 60s here by noon. You can get involved at 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. That's 855-CUB-TALK is how you can text in. It's how you can call in the appliance discounter phone lines. The appliance discounters, loyal sponsors of this award-winning radio presentation. Doug, I'm sorry, I just fired a sheet of paper into your hash browns.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Well, that looks good, though.
It's really a nice hard. Treat, Jennings. You got to get on something here.
It's really hard not to stop what I'm doing.
Do it.
No, I can't.
Well, then, by the time we're done talking, it'll be 8 o'clock, and it might be lukewarm.
So you want me to?
The listener might like to hear you eat.
Oh, I hate that. Doug has a lot of things he hates about the show.
But
the only thing I hate about the show
is
when Doug just starts.
Bite into that. No, I won't eat it, though.
The new Concord Plaza location in South County debuted on April 1st, and you can still get some terrific opening specials for the appliances counters. The official ribbon cutting on the appliances counter's 7th location is taking place on Wednesday. Stop by and enter a raffle for a fully stocked Budweiser mini fridge. The other 6 area stores are celebrating the occasion as well with huge savings on all appliances. The appliances counter, 7 area locations to serve you in South St. Louis County, in Baldwin, in Webster Groves, in St. Charles, in Arnold, in South City, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. The appliances counters where our savings are your savings, online at theappliancescounters.com. Blues action tonight. You can come down to Washington Avenue here and pony up and then head on over to the Scott Trade Center, Doug, for game 5.
Biggie.
Blues are the favorite, by the way.
They are.
By the by.
Well, I would like to go to the game, the latest. But I'll be involved with a little lady.
Oh, you got a live shot outside the building?
No, I'll be anchoring tonight.
Well, you can't do the 6 and then go over and come back?
Can't really do that.
Really? It's become that tough.
You can't park.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. I used to do that a lot.
I remember
just kind of run in and talk to people and see a period of the game and go back. You can't do it.
Will the Four Fox have a representative
at
the game?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
Well, I figured there may be a couple.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Blues are -115. The Predators are -105. Doug, so essentially it's being called a flip by Las Vegas. If you want to, the Blues are -1.5. Is +265.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bullish on the Blues.
-1.5.
Yeah, so a 4-2 win. Jennings plays up 265 on a $100 bet. I'm bullish on the Blues tonight. And as I said a couple days ago, it's a no-win situation. If they do win, nobody really cares that I was bullish on the Blues. But if they lose, you have the double potential triple shoot. The season's over. People are pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And I said they were going to win. And it's a Friday night, so they may have had a little booze in their system, and then the anger is even more intense.
So you think there'd be anger your way, potentially?
Yes. Well, that's just the way that it works. Hey, there's Richard Dawson and Gene Rayburn on a match game going on right now, Doug, on the television. Isn't that wonderful?
That is great.
Is that live now?
Do you feel like Richard Dawson, like, pour a glass of scotch before he would do these shows? Do you think that
went on? I think he'd pour one when he woke up in the morning. I think that's how his day started, was with a little taste.
God.
Wouldn't that be just about the easiest way to make $1 million?
To do this
once a
game
month
show?
Or so. It's just that particular game show.
Any game show.
Yeah.
Sajak.
Pat Sajak.
I mean,
Jack.
He's got it licked.
I mean, the money he's made is sick.
And he works like 1 or 2 days every 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
They come in and do like a week's worth of shows.
Look at Richard Dawson. Hey, he's giving the right answer, and now he calls her over to kiss her.
And the great Fanny Flagg is right there, author of Fried Green Tomatoes.
Is that right?
Yeah, that
this
was
wonderful.
She actually had a legitimate career.
What about Dame Judi Dench?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. Doug, this is great.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there are not more people here watching.
Yeah, watching the match game and us do our show. You can watch both and watch me look at my Bovada account.
That's exciting stuff. It's a wonder there's not a lineup outside.
It'll be there.
Yeah, 8 o'clock usually they start coming.
The traffic's a little tough. It's morning with the sun.
Right. I agree with you, actually.
I was like, I can't get down here.
Because now I'm used to driving west, and I appreciate that a little bit.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. It's a weird thing because I'd always driven east. And it's like, But I was so happy to see the sun. You know what? I was willing to deal with it, and I didn't turn around and say, I'm doing the show from home.
Just because the sun was in your eyes.
Because I was happy about it.
Right.
Jennings, how are golf courses, or how is Normandy?
Normandy has been tremendous. When we're open, we're kicking ass.
Yeah.
The golf course is in super shape. We have a huge day today, and I appreciate the folks at Incarnate Word Academy.
Right across the street.
Yeah.
There off number
17. They understand that it is cart path only. Now, there are other places. I say we're cart path only, and there are other places, and you guys have talked about it a little bit, that are underwater, that are unplayable.
What does Incarnate Word have to do with cart path only?
Well, it's you don't necessarily want to have a tournament and be cart path only.
Oh, so you guys have an Incarnate Word tournament?
Yeah, we got 17.
Oh, they're having the tournament.
I should have said that. We got 17 groups this morning at 8 o'clock, and then at 1 o'clock we got 32 teams.
Oh, my word.
So it's a big day for them, and I mean, I understand, but they understand that there's no way they could be off the path today. But it actually is drained and drains pretty well. We were off the path on Tuesday before we got the next bout of rain.
So with the standard, because I want to play so badly, I haven't played in I don't know how long with the rain, would fairways, Normandy, otherwise courses that are open with the fairways at this point? Doug, say I'm hitting a wedge in.
180 or so.
175.
Yeah. It's not okay, sorry.
But there is some wind today.
It.
Yeah. Am I going to be hitting into mud, you think?
I mean, if we could get some sunlight and it's a little wind.
The wind helps the cause.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you got a good day then.
The next two or three days, golf courses that are not in flood zones should drain and should dry out. They should be playable. The beauty of it is they're going to be extremely green. The one thing I would tell people is they play the next week or so, the hardest part to get to for the grounds crew staff is the rough. And we were already getting some complaints at The Rock that the rough's too long. And I'm like, well, it's rough. It's supposed to be long.
Yes, it's a golf course.
Yeah, don't hit it in there.
Yeah. Right. But, hit it straight, Doug.
You know, that's the toughest part for some of the spots to get mowed by the grounds crew. So you might see some thicker rough the next week or so.
Doug, that means your accuracy off the tee is
pays
now,
off. It's at a premium.
Yep. I'm long and straight, fellas, on the golf course and in the bedroom.
Well,
put
you
that
know,
off.
Finsty told Touch. Dow Finsterwald was a big guy.
Dow
for you.
Finsterwald. Yeah. Indeed he was. The pro out at Broadmoor.
Broadmoor. Finsty. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Jennings, and we have Lemmings Days at The Rock on Wednesday. Doug, the first one, are you going to play?
Probably not.
Jeez.
I would like to, but I don't have time.
Cardinals will be out of town. They got that big Wednesday game with the Marlins.
It's a Wednesday night?
That's right. Wednesday afternoon, next Wednesday.
I'm engaged with lady journalism.
You are always engaged with this lady.
Well, yeah. A lot of times with lady journalism, there are nights of endless pleasure.
Oh, nights of endless pleasure. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm. I didn't know that. Mm.
I would love to be able to play golf. I just don't have time.
Right, you don't have time to watch TV shows. So
I don't
golf,
have much. Yeah. A couple hours is about all I got. So what time do you tee off on a Wednesday night?
Yeah, what time are we teeing off? Like 3, I think?
3:30, I believe.
3:30.
Yeah, there's no way.
And Jennings and I are pairing up. I've never played golf with you.
Well,
never played golf with
you. I played in our league a couple weeks ago, our O.B. Clark's league, and fared very well, so I felt
you shaved strokes?
I played pretty good. I'm starting to...
No, what's pretty good for you?
I shot 38.
38, Doug. And is Normandy 72?
It's 71.
71.
The 9 we were on, it was 36, so it's 2 over par.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's good for somebody who doesn't play at all.
What's the best round you've ever had?
65.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Where'd you fire at?
I shot 65 at Glen Echo, and I also shot 65 at a course down in Columbia, South Carolina when I was in college.
Wow.
You're thinking there's a spot on the tour for you.
No,
65.
I did not.
Did you ever think that you may be on the tour? Ever? When you're playing college golf?
Not college. You know, when you play high school golf or when you compete.
Horton Watkins.
Absolutely. When you play at a local level and then start branching out to a national level in like the American Junior Golf Association, you start to see that there are a lot of good players. And I was lucky enough.
Like Cletus.
Well, that would be one that you could, the amateur tour now that he's dominating, the Golf Week amateur tour, a little different than the regular amateur tour.
Tougher.
Different. But, I mean, when I went to college, I had Brett Quigley, who was on team. Then we had Michael Christie, and we had Carl Paulson. Three guys that made the PGA Tour and played on the PGA Tour that nobody's ever heard of. And we had a guy named Rick Williams
who was
so much better than all three of those guys.
What happened to him?
Upstairs.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he could.
Yeah, the yips. Yeah, the yips.
I don't think he necessarily had the drive. I was actually thinking about it on my way down here today because I was thinking about the Eastern Amateur in the year that I went up there and he finished second in the Eastern Amateur and then made it to the finals of the Western Amateur. And Rick was a stick, but he just couldn't get to that
stick.
Next level.
What does that mean?
He was a stick, was a good player. Good player.
Yeah. Come on, Doug.
Come on,
the context
Doug.
Should have told you that.
It's pretty amazing that of all the people that play and all the work that you have to put in to get to that level, it kind of gets down to a shot or two.
It does.
Whether the guys who continue to move on or those
As
who
I've
don't.
Told people, the biggest difference between the high-level amateur like a Skip Berkmeyer or a, you know, Jim Holkrie for a long time here in St. Louis is just a fraction, and it really is a comfort thing. The only time those guys out on the tour hit a poor shot is when they don't feel comfortable. And that could be whatever. It could be something that happened with their wife that morning. It could be something with the way they looked at the lie. It could be something their caddy said. It's just a little thing that throws them off.
Yeah. One of their 120 girlfriends may have hit them with
that
an iron.
They may have gotten some paperwork that morning or something like that.
Paperwork.
You never know. But it's a, and it's changed a lot, the life out there. There used to, I think, be a lot more fun. That's why I think a lot of people are amazed when they see this new contingent of Ricky and Justin Thomas and showing their vacations and all the stuff.
Yeah, spring break.
Yeah, that they got going on. I mean, that's kind of the way the tour was in the 50s and 60s before the money went crazy.
What happened then? People started drinking scotch?
People started working at it a lot harder and really? Not partying and not having a good time and getting trainers and gurus. And
yeah, Jack Nicklaus in like the 60s was a little bulky.
Yeah.
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 A little chubby. I think golf might be the hardest of all major sports to make it in because the whole world plays it. People don't have 2 or 3 year careers. They have 40-year careers. They don't go away.
Right.
Just the numbers to make it.
Well, and to get out there, to get the opportunity, I think a lot of people, if they got the opportunity, could do it. But it's such a limited number of, you know, probably about worldwide and PGA Tour, about 300 guys.
Yeah, and you got, what, 750 playing Major League Baseball at any one time.
Yep.
You got more than that playing NFL football, and these are mostly Americans.
It's tougher.
This is the whole world that wants to do this.
Absolutely. It's a tough go, no question about it.
Well, the whole world wants to play on Wednesday at Normandy with me and Jennings. It's Lemmings Days, Doug. You ought to sign up. You ought to see what it's like to
have Mo work an extra day.
I think he needs to. I mean, if the Blues lose.
Or maybe Seve could do both. He could do
both. Do you know what the word commitment means? Commitment to a little lady called journalism.
And that nobody really ever realized it.
I'll be doing Vosat.
Oh, yeah.
If the Blues lose today,
yeah, what are you going
to
do?
Then it's harder because you still have to do the stuff with not much to talk about.
You
got
to break down the Rams draft?
The hardest days we have are when there's nothing going on.
That's when you really have
three of the Rockets and Spurs.
That's where you really have to bear down, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That seems like there's a lot of bad blood now between the Wizards and Celtics.
Well, I'll be saying things like that if it comes to it.
I mean, there is nothing. I mean, it's not like you could say
The Rangers have come back to tie up the series.
We've got training camp opening in a couple weeks. That's gone.
Well, Missouri's recruiting class sure looks good in basketball.
Yeah. Look at the
change. Well, we do have the Cardinals. We can always talk about the Cardinals, even if they're gone.
Up against Matt Kemp this weekend.
What are you getting at? 330, 320?
Ship the under.
Is it that little now?
Most shows, it's 2.5-ish.
Damn.
When I started there, I think we were getting 3:45 to 4 at 6.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you could have time to do like a minute 30.
Sure.
And
something.
We used to have a 5 o'clock sports as well.
Yeah.
But then Sunday hits and you're doing a half an hour. You do 4 minutes at 5:30 and you do 3 minutes at the top of 10 and then a half hour.
Here you go.
With no one in the background. just you there. Just you there editing and
nobody to pitch to.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Mm, yeah. I remember that.
So you have a bunch of
days. They probably pay you a lot extra for the summer.
Oh, they give you a little bump?
There are some days where you think, boy, we sure could do a whole lot more than this. And then there's other days, oh, my God, I'm drowning. I've got 20 minutes still to do, and I've got an hour and a half to do it. No, but that's the business.
Doug, I don't know if you've seen the latest editions now. It's from Lee Strickman. I didn't know if she wanted me to give her name.
Who's this?
Lee Strickman.
How's she
Jennings
look?
Is going to go check her out.
Lee.
Well, I didn't give her name because of what we're witnessing right here.
Right.
And I don't know if she has any pictures of her feet or not. Okay. And remind me to tell you and talk about with you a guest we have coming up on Tuesday by the name of Janine Lindemolder. And I asked the Sea Monster, I said, hey, have you booked next week? Because I know the cat's out of town. Let's make sure we get Jennings in. And maybe you should just come in anyway.
She's on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was here,
from California or Oregon, wherever
yeah,
she's
I could
roaming
do Tuesday,
right now.
Sea Monster.
But she was complaining about her feet yesterday on Twitter. So we'll have to get to that, but I've got so much to get to. We got the Cardinals and Brewers game in front of 400 people last night.
It's a big one.
Right. But Doug Lee designed new free Dotem shirts. And yesterday on the fan pin, and I'm sure you saw him, and I don't know who you voted
for. Did you see him, Doug?
I didn't. I don't go on there.
I voted.
There was the black T-shirt background and the white. Lee, I said, hey, could you give me a couple of other options, too? And she came up with more options. And now we have gray background and we have a navy background. And people are voting, and they're voting like the Dickens. I don't know. I feel like we have a lot of good options. You know, Jennings, I don't know. What do you?
I had originally gone with
Doug, I'll
the,
try not to be able to let you see it on my...
I think it was the black with the red, white, and blue lettering that everybody was kind of voting for originally. But then I saw the gray. And
it piqued your interest, didn't it?
The gray may have changed my vote.
Now, some people are saying they want the navy. That kind of looks like the Dodgers uniforms, doesn't it?
Does.
The Dodgers
Yeah.
are on the road.
Road uniform, yeah.
But they're saying go with the navy with the red, white, and blue. Why? Why? Not only because Dotem's a Patriot,
yeah.
but because it'll match their TMA hats.
Oh.
What's wrong with that, Doug?
Wow.
These are super lemmings who want to dress up in some sort of lemming costume.
I've never seen you ring the bell like that.
That was a hard ring.
I don't care for the message that's on the T-shirt, frankly.
What's wrong with it? It's about liberty and justice for all.
It isn't. It's like
you
like
met Richie, his father, right? Didn't you meet his father? Or who met his father?
I met his father.
You met Richie.
I met his mother.
Yeah.
She was ponied up at Kirkwood Brewhouse. That's what she was. Wingy-wingy at Kirkwood Brewhouse.
I've met him. I'm sure they're ashamed of their son.
I think they're very happy with the way he's turned out. You're one of the few people.
Because his vileness is aimed at me. This is why he's been suspended indefinitely.
You have vileness sent your way every single
day.
Yeah,
but he stepped across the line.
Thank you, Dan.
I mean, you know, you got a big-time
he's
broadcaster.
He's gone too far, frankly.
You got a big-time broadcaster like Dan McLaughlin.
Yep.
Supporting him.
Yep.
Well. Home Morning Member After with Tim McKirkin.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Jennings, I'm talking about the backlash to the new voice thing. I mean, you would think.
I saw it. People in our town, as you well know, do not like change.
What makes you say that?
And
the new voice is on, what, 5 seconds at the beginning of the show?
It's a lot briefer than Emo 6 used
that?
To be. But it's when you hear, when you are accustomed to hearing Emo 6.
Emo 6.
And you've seen Emo 6 on remote and how he brings
it. He'll be doing the TMA Live at Hot Shots, presented by Bud Select. We're on the road doing events, Doug. It's presented by Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We're at Hot Shots in O'Fallon in 13 days.
Now, what's Emo 6?
That's his message board name. Remember the Inside SCL message board you used to post on?
He was Emo 6, and I think that's just
what
Twitter.
What does that mean,
you
Emo
were Wayner
6?
Train, weren't you?
In my opinion, 6?
Yeah, that's just Twitter, Emo 6.
Well, what does it mean?
6 is a magical number,
right.
As you know.
In my opinion, 6. That's what that means.
Well, it may be, or it may have something to do with the pizza. I don't know.
Yeah,
oh, Emo's Pizza.
You remember them?
He'll have 6 of them.
Well,
now that makes more sense to me.
He might have, but I think that when I heard it, I was a little stunned. Because, you get used to stuff in our town, and you expect it. Like Robin Smith, you expect the bun to be there.
Oh, she's been gone 3, 4, 5 years now.
Isn't she Secretary of State?
No, she didn't win the election.
Well, tough break. But, I mean, I understand the disappointment. There was a lot of disappointment on the fan page.
That she didn't become Secretary of State.
No, on the switching of the voice.
Oh, she lost to one of the Ashcrofts.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Just by curiosity, and you may not know, where does this person do the voice? Is she from the Lou?
Jennings, I am
I know
not
you're no longer. Yeah,
thank you.
I got you. Okay.
I do not know.
Kittens and bunnies.
That's Keisha
not
Gray,
her.
And
that's
she's in
her.
Tampa in the San Fernando Valley, occasionally Chatsworth, depending on the scene.
Chatsworth? Where the hell is that?
Cali.
Was that up in the mountains or something?
Probably Valley.
So this Leah Strickman.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
She designs the shirts.
Oh, God, I was thinking, who is... Oh, yes. And her boyfriend or fiancé, gentleman lover is what I like to say, because I think that's more appropriate.
Yep.
I guess I blocked him from the fan pin, but not because he was being a dick, which is the reason I block people from the fan pin. People say, Tim says, just don't be vile. I'm as pro-vile as it gets. Yeah. My God, I've watched a lot of Belladonna videos. But
what?
Yeah, he's hard worker.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe Bo Hart. If Bo Hart and Belladonna did a video,
gritty.
There'd be so much hard work going on.
Gritty and gutty.
But no, I thought it was a fake profile because what happens, Doug, and this might impress you, mm-hmm. is people will get blocked from the page for being a dick.
Sure.
And then they will create fake accounts to try and get back in.
Oh, yeah, I can't blame them for that.
Weisberger.
Yep.
That happened. Out. So I'm like, oh, God, it's another guy creating a fake account, or the same guy we've had a problem with for however long, the fan page almost a year old, creating another fake account. So I blocked, and then this guy reached out to me, and he was, like, begging. He goes, It's not a fake. And then his fiance, now it could be an elaborate ruse, but her girlfriend, female lover, reaches out, and she's in graphic design. This is Lee. Is it Lee or Leah, you think? Lee or
it's
Leah?
It's L-E-A-H.
How would you pronounce that, Doug?
Leah.
Leah is how I usually
Leah Strickman.
But I've also seen it as Lee.
And she did the design. She did this free dotum graphic work, and now she's putting together the color scheme and the whole thing. And as a democracy, I'm going to the people and saying, what do you want? You know, what do you want? Now, some CEOs are texting in and going, how come you don't just buy all the colors and sell them? Well, you have to understand. And at the journalism school, how much time do they spend on business at the journalism school?
None.
Okay. So what you do is you don't order a bunch of stuff that you can't sell, because what that does on the left side of the ledger is it increases costs.
Inventory.
And then inventory's up, and then you don't sell it, and then you operate at a loss, which oftentimes happens in sports talk radio, but it's not necessarily a recommended pattern. And so, therefore, we're trying to find one, maybe, maybe two colors.
That you don't move.
Right. So that's why
we're going to
the
people. A home and away. A home and away.
Nicely done, sir.
Nicely done. Right. Very nice.
Nicely done. And I don't know, so I'm going to the people. We'll give the people what they want. And some guys already have the TMA cap, and they want to match it up with the shirt.
How nerdy is that?
Yeah, but like for Mother's Day.
Where are you going to wear that?
Mother's Day. Schneidhorst.
Yeah, that's a good
play.
They
would block you from even entering the restaurant.
I think that's
dressed like that.
They come on in.
Go on out of here. You're not from up in here. That's what they'd say to you.
We're to that Brio for a Friday night happy
hour. Oh, yeah. Yep. One of the Tuesday night divorcee parties.
That would impress the divorcees.
Yes,
look
would.
At me. I listen to a radio show.
It's starting to grow. I mean, it's continuing to grow, the popularity of the program.
I don't know.
I think so.
This is meant to impress older divorced women in the Ladue area.
That's
you're
correct.
Wearing a T-shirt.
That's really
and a
the premise
baseball
of it.
Hat.
That's correct. Yep.
That's what they look for.
A lot of your classmates at Horton Watkins are looking for this.
Totally right. Looking forward.
The corporate attorney that they left because he was fooling around with the secretary.
Correct.
And left her $4 million.
Right.
Now they'd like to go in another direction.
Sure.
And get some pot-bellied Hoosier boy
right.
with a TMA T-shirt and a baseball hat. That's what they're looking for.
Yes.
I don't know that it's directly what they're looking for, but there's a chance.
Right.
There's always hope.
All right.
Well, they're doing a lot of work down here. There's supposed to be a big party here.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a pony.
Wow.
Cinco de Mayo, Jackie Papers. Mm-hmm. I do like the margarita. And I'm telling you, if you come here, Rosalita's Cadillac Fajitas, one of my favorite dishes in St. Louis.
Don't say dishes.
What would you call it?
Yeah. How about meals or entrees? Don't say dishes.
Hey, Doug.
Talk about 1950s talk.
Hey, Doug, that Butch Nancy Lopez won the U.S. Open in 77.
She wasn't Butch. She was married to Ray Knight.
She was May married Young, to Ray Knight.
They're no longer married?
No longer married.
Oh, is that right?
She is the straight.
She is the straight.
One of the straights.
She is a straight.
How many are straights on the LPGA
More
Tour?
More than there used to be, thank
and,
God.
And is that the influence of the Pacific Rim and how they frown upon lesbianism?
No. But that's a good read. Honestly.
Lydia Cohen or caddies. I don't understand it.
I don't. It's the dumbest thing
Doug,
I've ever seen.
Can you believe what's going on?
I don't know what's
this
going on.
This girl's the best player in the world, and she switches caddies every other week.
Lydia Cohen?
Big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think there was
not a Westwood member.
Top of the golf leaderboard.
But the biggest thing that happened is they finally, in about 1978, 79, 80, started bringing girls and boys together at junior tournaments instead of just having junior tournaments for girls and junior tournaments for boys. The American Junior Golf Association said, well, you know what? Why don't we have a tournament and they all show up at the same spot? So it wasn't – you didn't have the queen dykes that stood out there and kind of trained the girls.
I don't know
girls.
How the FCC feels about
queen,
that term.
Queen people. Queen people.
I text Janie the lesbian.
Yeah,
see if
check that.
Do you think that really made a difference?
Oh, I don't think there's any question.
You think you're going to determine your lifelong sexuality by what happened at a golf tournament?
I think – no. Here's the situation.
I'm gay.
By the fact that they started bringing them together – I think it changed the way a lot of young girls got influenced by older girls. I don't think there's any question
about
it.
Yeah, like a master's thesis.
There's no question about it. No doubt about it. The AJGA was the best thing
for
heterosexual women golfers.
Some of the girls showed up at a golf tournament.
Yeah.
Started hanging around at the driving range in the locker room and said, whoops, I guess I'm gay now.
Clip that off. Snag it.
I think it was just kind of the way it was, if you will, for
I've
a long
been,
time.
I've been heterosexual all my life, but this guy lured me here. Oops, I guess I'm gay now.
Hello, neighbor.
Plowhawk's having a huge
He's having a big
Well, he wants the Blues to take this thing down tonight, and he feels like the more drops he fires,
that's going to be key.
It will increase the chances of the Blues winning. Plowhawk, you were giving out hot takes this morning on the Cardinals, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right?
Yeah, sorry. Had a muffin in my mouth.
What sort of hot takes there, Blows?
Oh, just about the Wainwright situation the Cardinals are already in and potentially could be in if the struggles continue. Do you put them in the bullpen, maybe put them on the DL to get him some rest?
He's made it to the sixth inning one time this year. Is that right?
Mm. And that's a problem. And so I just thought I would let Twitter universe know. And haven't got too much backlash yet, but it's still early.
Well, you did tweet it at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, like I said, it's still early, so let it marinate.
It might pick up some traction here over the next couple hours, Doug.
Yeah, I was looking for his stat line last night.
It's strong to quite strong. He went 5 innings, allowed 10 hits, 4 earned runs, struck out 4, walked 3, and his ERA is now at 6.30.
Yeah, when you're giving up 2 hits for every innings pitch, that's a bad thing. And you're walking people.
And I lost some money. I was going to bet the roll last night.
Bet the what?
The roll, the bankroll.
Oh, okay.
On the under. And honestly, the reason why I didn't bet the roll, I still lost money, because what was the final? 5-4. The over-under was 7.5. Was never really a sweat. They covered it in the fifth inning. Is because I'm like, okay, they got to fly to Atlanta, night game. They'll wrap this thing up quickly. But I'm like, oh, Wainwright's pitching. Brewers have a nice lineup. Nah, I don't know. I'm gonna put in a taste instead of the roll.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's a weird place to be because for about a decade or so, you're like, oh, Wainwright's pitching, even better. But now it's like, Wainwright's pitching, big bad news. And like his line drive rate, in other words, the strength of the contact the opposition is hitting off of him is one of the highest in baseball. I mean, they're not missing pitches. It is rough, and it is a big, big void in the Cardinal rotation.
Huge, and you wonder.
Then you go into your bullpen super early, and that's
and you wonder
chain reaction.
What can you do with Wainwright? I mean,
it's a hard thing to watch when you have an iconic player,
sure,
who's been a World Series hero.
He's been your horse.
He's been a Cy Young candidate there for 2 or 3 years in a row. To see him come down here at the end of his career and get battered around, and everybody loves Adam Wainwright. Everybody loves him. It's just a fantastic guy, great leader, fantastic clubhouse presence. It's hard to watch the end of a career like this. What looks like the beginning of the end of the career, anyway.
Do you give him a shot in the bullpen? Do you sit him? Do you rest him for a couple weeks?
I wouldn't imagine he's going to the bullpen anytime soon. I bet they keep marching
keep rolling
him
out there.
Yeah. What's your alternative? Who are you going to put in that spot?
I don't know, but if you keep seeing the same type of results with him, I don't know how you can keep having him go out there.
I would imagine that they'll have a long leash with him.
Plowboy, if you could, since you can't see me giving you the visual cues, Adam Wainwright discussed his poor outing last night in the Cardinals' loss, courtesy of Fox Sports Midwest.
Certainly not the crispest I was. I mean, tonight I didn't have great stuff. I had fine stuff, but my cutter was terrible. You know, it's got to get better. It's got to go somewhere else. I got to get a more sharp pitch there. But, you know, the frustrating thing is there's a lot of balls that are hit that are just hitting lines and finding holes. And just from a pitching standpoint, I just have to keep making pitches that will change when I get a little sharper, a little better location on my stuff, and those balls end up going somewhere.
Said he was fine. I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe he felt like he was throwing the ball fine.
His fastballs were like 89, 90 miles an hour, and unless you're perfect with that, you're throwing batting practice. No. At the major league level, that's batting practice unless you are just right there on the corner with every pitch.
And perhaps even worse than just a loss in the middle of early May, is that Stephen Piscotty left the game and Dexter Fowler left the game. And Fowler with a strained right shoulder driving for a ball, Piscotty with a strained right hamstring. The encouraging news, Ben Fredrickson, I saw him tweeting about this. Piscotty was walking around. He just said it was a muscle spasm. But Dexter Fowler likely to go on the 10-day DL. The Cardinals have already called up Tommy Pham from Memphis, and now it's a matter of just how severe these two injuries are. So you already have a team kind of just scuffling along, and you throw in two of your top four in the lineup going on the DL, potentially at least one. And as somebody I saw, I think it was Gould tweeting it out, who would have thought a week ago that Colton Wong would be hitting at the top of the order. But that is what it looks like may be happening here.
Yeah. I kind of like that Diaz in left field move.
Do you?
I could see him as a really good outfielder. Yeah, and it's different.
Why do you say that?
It's different when you take Matt Adams and put him in left field as opposed to an athletic shortstop and put him in left field. Diaz can fly. He's got a good arm. He'll track down those balls in the gap and the ones down the line. He ought to be able to handle that as well as anybody. And Garcia's a pretty good shortstop. I think that's probably the way to go.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from there. I would really like to see Greg Garcia get some consistent reps. I really would. I just kind of feel like he's a guy who will contribute. And considering that they're kind of scratching their heads as to what to do if both go on the DL, that I wouldn't mind seeing that. I was surprised when I first saw it out there just because you don't see him out there. Haven't seen him out there.
If you can play shortstop at the major league level, you can play anywhere. Maybe not, obviously not pitcher and catcher.
But in the field.
If you can handle shortstop at the major leagues, you can play all over the field.
Yeah.
It's not the case of a first baseman necessarily, but for a shortstop, you
should be able to. Yeah.
I think that he would be a dynamite outfielder.
Here is Mike Matheny saying that the field conditions did not necessarily contribute to the injuries.
Yeah, you know, our field's in great shape. The guys did an incredible job of getting it to the point where it is, but there's still, you know, it's cold and it's still damp. And we're always concerned what that might end up being, and that's kind of our worst nightmare. And you see a couple guys, but you know, Dexter was more of the effort towards the ball in the air than it was just, you know, the conditions. Because I thought the field was actually in good shape. I think probably the cold weather more than anything else you could kind of point to as far as Steven goes.
That's what Jim Edmonds is saying on the broadcast. Is when you have all these rainouts. And you don't practice like you normally do before the game. You don't hit. You don't run around in the outfield a little bit. You just don't warm up the same. And then the game time rolls around, and you might think that you're ready, but the fact is you haven't gone through the same routine that you always go through, and sometimes that'll lead to pulled muscles or strains like what we saw with Piscotty. Fowler was just falling down after a ball. You can understand that. I don't think playing conditions had anything to do with that.
Naftali Feliz, who probably has sleepless nights from October 2011 every time he comes back here, the Brewers' closer, walked Matt Carpenter on four straight pitches, and then I really enjoyed the approach of the Cardinals following Naftali Feliz, who has not exactly been a shutdown closer for the Brewers. He's gotten the job done, and he does have eight saves, but oftentimes they're adventures for the Brewers and their fans. So he walks Carpenter on four straight pitches, and then do you know what happened after that, Doug?
They started swinging at the first pitch.
You like that.
Normally it doesn't bother me, but when you do walk somebody on four pitches,
you might
then
take
it's different.
One.
In a one-run game in the ninth inning, and Jed Jerko came up after Carpenter. He swung at the first pitch, fouled it off, probably intentionally.
I would think.
It wasn't.
Nearly in
the And then on the next pitch, it was a hanging breaking ball, and it was up, and Jim Edmonds.
He thought it was gone right up the crack of the bat.
Right.
Yep.
It was not.
It was not gone, no. Turned into a routine fly ball to the left.
Right. Because of the pitch location, he's like, oh, he hung it. Jerko doesn't miss those often and thought it was gone, but it was not, unfortunately. And then Yadier Molina, he popped up on the first pitch and then Diaz on the first pitch, and then that was it.
Yep.
So he threw four straight balls, Jennings is what he did. He threw four straight balls. He's been having some at least adventures in the ninth inning as the Brewers closer, and then he threw four more balls, except they were all swung at, and then the game was over. His flight to Atlanta,
Doug,
for
at the highest
game getaway.
At the highest level, do you think it would be wrong for somebody to say to the ball player, we're going to take a couple? We're just going to take a couple.
No, I don't think that's
Do you
wrong.
Think that happens?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Well, perhaps the greatest hitter of all time, Ted Williams, used to preach that the most important thing about hitting was hitting the right pitch.
Right.
Was waiting for the pitch that you can hit the best. And so as a hitter, if you see something, whether the last guy just walked or whatever, if you see a pitch that you think, there it is, I guessed right, it's right where I want
it. If you're looking
I'm hacking
for it, right,
at it.
Yeah.
That's generally, I think, the approach. But it is different. That kind of changes when a pitcher comes in and shows that he can't
he's
find
off,
a strike zone
right
now. That's the time when you say, well, you know, I'm going to make him
even
throw
the best
a strike.
Hitters. I mean, even a guy that's got three for four, hey, Take a couple.
But normally we don't complain when the guy hits the first pitch he sees 10 rows into the bleachers. We don't worry about it that much.
Yep.
But it is different. Late in the inning, when a guy just came in and started walking
straight balls. And who has a track record of not necessarily being very comfortable in the situation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that was really, I'm just like, what are you doing?
It's been a weird Central so far. I mean, the Cubs now have won 3 straight, but, I mean, they're only a game and a half up on the Brewers. You got 16 wins for the Cubs and 12 wins for the Pirates.
I think the Brewers could actually be a decent team if they had any form of pitching.
They got a decent lineup.
They got a good lineup, but they're kind of under the radar players. I'm not real sure Eric Thames is going to be able to continue to do what he did or has done and did in April. And I have to think the Cubs are going to be
better than
playing at a better than 57% win percentage the rest of the way. So, you know, I mean, unless they're just going to have some pitching issues, you know, they do have a couple of kind of question marks in that rotation. The wonderful Brett Anderson being one. They play the Yankees, by the way, this weekend, Cubs and Yankees. My God, the scoring there. Although I see the wind is blowing in aggressively for today's 120 game in Chicago. But the Cardinals now are 13-14. The Cubs are 16-12. And the Cardinals are now in fourth place in the National League Central, although they're just 2.5 games out of first place, game and a half out of last place as they head to Atlanta. 6 games through the Southeast, Atlanta, and then 3 in Miami, and then head back to St. Louis for a game against a 3-game series against the Cubs next weekend. But tonight, Doug, the Blues and the Predators.
Mm-hmm.
What is more likely? This is a poll question Frank Cusumano and Brendan Schaefer were discussing yesterday on the Hollywood Casino Press Box.
Who's Brendan Schaefer?
Frank's board op. Oh. And he has some of the best hair in the industry.
Really?
He has some of the best hair.
Got a lot of salad.
Where does he live?
Somewhere in the St. Louis region.
No. I think he like.
Have
lives
I
out
met him before?
Does he live in Wentzville?
Sneaky.
Wentzville?
Have I ever met him, you think?
You've probably seen him.
Yeah, you probably crossed paths with him very briefly.
All right. Frank's board op and then Brian Hoffman. The question, what's more likely to happen? The Cardinals winning 95 games this year, or
95?
That's right. Or the Blues coming back and winning this series?
I'd say the Blues coming back would be
more
likely to happen.
I think Doug's right. I think it is.
I think so, too, because if you actually break down the math, which I
tend to do.
which I did do, because I'm like, you got to kind of, whatever, allocate probability if you're going to make one of these plays. In order for the Cardinals to do this, and this was before yesterday, they would have to go now 83-53 the rest of the way.
No.
Or 82-53, I should say.
That's
82-53.
Yeah, that's not going to
The Blues,
happen.
On the other hand, had winning streaks of 3 games or more 7 times during the regular season.
Right. And you can see
they're up against a red-hot team.
Sure.
So it's not likely that they do it now,
but
they've done it.
You get by. You win tonight's game. You go there on – when is the game? Was it Sunday?
Sunday, 2 o'clock.
And Allen does it for you. I love yesterday Kelly Chase talking about Grant Fuhr.
Yeah, how great was that
saying,
story?
You get me to a game 7, and I got it. And not that that's Jake Allen, but – Jake Allen can win you. He could win that game on Sunday if they win tonight.
He already won a series against Minnesota.
So I mean, is it likely? No. Is it more possible than the Birds winning 95? Yeah, I think so.
Especially when you're in May and you're already four games.
What is 83-53? You think this team can go 30 over .500 the rest of the way?
There might not be another team in baseball that plays 30 games over .500.
Maybe
the rest
the Cubs.
Of the way. Maybe. Yeah, that's a big season for anybody.
I mean, I think they got a chance. I mean, a lot of people feel like tonight's almost a throwaway. But if you're Nashville, you don't want to go back to Game 6. You know, in the back of your mind, yeah, we got that cushion. But if they don't come out off the bat and show much, the Blues could go ahead and maybe have a big night tonight and take it to Game 6 and. You know, then you roll the dice.
Oh yeah, they've been in every game.
Yeah,
every game has been winnable for them. They almost won that. They hit the goalpost to tie it up late in game 4.
Yep.
Was it? Yeah.
I would like to see them getting. It does seem like the last couple of games that more of the puck control has been obviously in the Blues end, and that, you know, the Nashville's been controlling the puck better than the Blues.
Yeah, I mean, throughout this series, it truly does remind me of the Sharks series last year. It's like, oh, wow. And now at that time, it was a 2-2 going into Game 5.
Right.
But you just were kind of like, I don't really know how likely this is. Just by based on the play,
yeah.
I do recall the Blues winning that game 7 in Phoenix because I was in school at Missouri, and I remember the bar going crazy when they. I think it was an overtime winner in game 7 too. You remember that, Seamaster? Was it Turge?
It was Pierre Turgeon.
Dub?
Oh yeah, Turgeon.
7-7.
Yeah. We play sheaf by sheaf.
You like that?
That's what he said. Sheaf by sheaf.
So I don't recall at least what the play was as far as the first 6 games. In this one, through the first 4, I think even the hardest of hardcore Blues fans would go, yeah, Nashville's outplayed the Blues. But at the same time, though, I felt like the Wild outplayed the Blues for a good portion of that series as well, and it was over in 5 games, which led to the Bruce Boudreau quote that pissed people off about how the better team didn't necessarily win. In this case, so far, Nashville, the better team, and also has dominated play. It can flip. And twice in this series, in the first 4 games, out of nowhere, the Blues have just all of a sudden started dominating play with really no indication that that was coming. Usually there is a bit of a build-up to it. I truly do expect them to win tonight, and potentially in a comfortable fashion. And then, and then at that point, if that can actually happen, you're talking about winning 2 games in a row. It's still quite an uphill climb because it's not like you're talking about some kind of asshat operation there. I mean, Nashville's a legitimately good team.
And obviously with a very good goalie.
Yeah. Which team would be an asshat operation?
The Senators. That's an asshat operation, I think. And that's nothing against the Canadians. I know a lot are listening in Vancouver this morning.
Yeah, we're popular up north.
We're very popular in British Columbia.
Plowsy brings a lot of listeners up in Vancouver.
He does.
Yep.
But as far as, I just don't know, how many people really think the Senators are going to wind up winning
I think the
series or the cup. Whereas I think if you look at what you have in Nashville, I think a lot of people go, God, that might be the favorite to win the Stanley Cup right now. Yeah. Actually, I wonder
if the
turn of emotion that would occur from a victory tonight, just kind of okay, all right, now I got something to do Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, if they were to win Sunday. Force a game 7, hello.
Oh, Jackie Papers. Oh, what you just said. Well, it'd be nice at some point in the series to score the first goal.
I understand.
The first goal could really kind of affect. I think if Nashville comes out and scores, we're going to go, oh, boy, this is all going to be over
tonight.
If they
do tonight, you're right. Yep.
And it kind of takes the air out of the crowd.
Doug, when is the last time St. Louis hosted a game 7 in the second round?
Oh, boy, that was in that fateful year that we all remember so well. It was a game 7, and as I recall, it wasn't the first or wasn't the third round. It was the second round, and that was the year.
Yes.
That was the year.
I don't know.
You want a year from me? Hell, I don't remember.
Has to happen, hasn't it?
I don't know.
A game 7 in the second round.
What about that stat you had a week ago, which was the game 4 and game 5?
In game 5s with the series tied.
Oh, with a tie. Okay.
Yes. So the stat does not apply this evening.
Okay. I just thought it was game 5. So.
I remember when I was a kid, Ron Schock scored a game 7 winner, I think, in overtime to send him to the Stanley Cup Finals, but that would have been the first round.
Oh, and Bobby Orr.
Since there was only 6 teams
in their conference.
The California Seals.
California Golden Seals,
Golden,
if you don't mind.
Yeah, Golden Showers.
Yeah. What? No, they weren't in the league yet.
It would have been a lot cooler if they were the Golden Showers.
That was a minor league club.
Doug, I got to wrap up this 7 o'clock hour. It was brought to you by Design Air Heating and Cooling, donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to 3 Little Birds for Life. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Seth Goldkamp came to my house. He's come to Doug's house, and their family has been running this for 4 generations. It's Design Air Heating and Cooling. Let them check your air conditioning because it is finally going to warm up. And Design Air Heating and Cooling will take care of that for you. DesignAirService.com. Design Air, the number one train deal in the Midwest. It's hard to stop train. Tim McKernan, Jennings Randolph Jr., and Doug Vaughn with you. We are live on Washington Avenue for Cinco de Mayo. It's all going down right here today, right out in front of Rosalita's. We're at Blondie's. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.